Take in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Brazil beat Mexico Monday 2-0 in Samara, Russia, to advance to the quarterfinals at the World Cup football tournament. Superstar Neymar opened the scoring for the five-time world champions with a sliding finish from Willian's cross in the 51st minute. And Liverpool man Roberto Firmino sealed it for Brazil with a goal in the 88th minute. The Brazilians will next play either Belgium or Japan on Friday in a quarterfinal. The Belgians and the Japanese are playing in Monday's second World Cup match. And that game kicks off at 1800 UTC GMT in Rostov-on-Don, Russia. In World Cup action over the weekend, France, Uruguay, Croatia, and host Russia all advanced to the quarterfinals with victories. The French defeated Argentina 4-3 in Kazan, Russia. 19-year-old Kylian Mbappe had two goals for France. Uruguay beat Portugal 2-1 in Sochi, Russia. Mbappe's Paris Saint-Germain teammate Edinson Cavani had both goals for Uruguay, which will next play France Friday in a quarterfinal. And Croatia and Russia both won through penalty kick shootouts after one-all draws and 120 minutes of football. The Croatians prevailed over the Danes 3-2 on penalty kicks. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to both goaltenders, Daniel Sabasic of Croatia and Kasper Schmeichel of Denmark, who I thought were both outstanding in the shootout. Schmeichel stopped two shots, but Sabasic went one better to take his side through to a quarterfinal matchup Saturday against Russia. The Russians eliminated Spain, setting off celebrations in Moscow and throughout the country. Joining us from Russia with more details is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. Moscow and several Russian cities erupted in street celebrations on Sunday as the World Cup host booked a place in the quarterfinals, defeating Spain on penalties at Russia's flagship stadium, Luzhniki Stadium. Russia's Golden Eagles won 4-3 on penalties following a 1-1 stalemate, and they progressed into the quarterfinals while the Red Fury of Spain were eliminated from the tournament.
In Moscow, in the face of probably the most formidable football nation of the 21st century, in front of their own crazed public and a bewitched world, 144 million people on this kick of the ball. Match point! Match point! Akinfeev saves! It is Russia's party and the party goes on! Crank up the music! Charge your glass! This nation is going to dance all night!
From the metro stations to the fan feast parks, bars and clubs, the city was in a state of frenzy as one of the least ranked teams to the 2018 FIFA World Cup made it into the quarterfinals.
I don't know how to explain my feeling now. I'm so happy. It's unbelievable. It's a miracle, I think. I hope that Russia will win, but I think nobody believes in it. But we hope, and now I think my dream is come true, you know?
Russia! What an absolutely incredible game. We're here in the heartland of Russia, where all Russian fans have turned out to support their best team ever. I feel this year we can win it.
Oh, that was just great and incredible. We're so happy for Russia.
Woo! So much fun tonight. Joseph is the great coach. Hello! Russia! Russia!
Some Spanish fans believe their team did not play well enough to end a victory.
Today was a very
Sad day for Spain, something extremely unexpected. You know, Spain having won the World Cup, being such a strong team with such strong players, this was not expected. But Russia played strong, they did exactly what they had to do. They played very well, tactically perfect, and then they left it to the penalties to do what they had to do, go to the next round.
Wow, it's very, very, very...
Russia's Alexander Yerokhin made a little piece of World Cup history on Sunday when he became the first man to appear as a fourth substitute in a tournament match during the host game against Spain in Moscow. FIFA introduced a new regulation for the 2018 World Cup that allowed teams to use a fourth replacement in extra time. Stanislav Cheshishrov took advantage of it halfway through the first period, sending on Yerokhin for Dalar Kozyaev. Spain will also send on a fourth substitute with Rodrigo coming on for Marco Asensio. The FIFA disciplinary committee has sanctioned the Swiss Football Association with a fine of 35,000 Swiss franc and a warning due to the attitude of several members of the Switzerland's national team during the match played against Costa Rica. In particular, three officials forced their access to the field of play without wearing their accreditation, and one of them insulted FIFA's safety and security officer. Additionally, the FIFA disciplinary committee has sent warnings to the Egyptian Football Association due to the breach of the media and marketing regulation for the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia for not ensuring the presence of Mohamed Salah in the press conference following the match between Saudi Arabia and Egypt, despite Mohamed Salah being elected as the man of the match. Staying with disciplinary issues, Moroccan player Nourdine Amrabat was also given a warning for displaying an offensive behavior following the match between Spain and Morocco, while his Football Federation president Fawzi Lekja also got a warning for staying in the technical area before the final whistle of the match between Spain and Morocco. And after the conclusion of match day 18 activities, 52 of the 64 matches have been played. Harry Kane from England remains the top scorer with 5 goals. He's followed in the second position by Romelu Lukaku from Belgium with 4 goals, same as Cristiano Ronaldo from Portugal with 4 goals. For other tournament statistics with respect to team, 136 goals were scored as of Sunday, 171 yellow cards issued, while 3 players have seen the red, and a total of 39,956 passes have been completed. A total of 39,956 passes were completed. Spain remains the best attacking side according to FIFA with 288 attacks. The team is also adjudged to be the best passing side after completing a total of 3,120 passes. Russia is rated as the best defending side with 196 clearances, tackles and saves. On attempt at goal, Cristiano Ronaldo tops the list with 21 attempts, while the most distance covered by any player goes to Christian Eriksen of Denmark. He's covered a total of 51 kilometer distance since the championship started. Sergio Ramos of Spain tops the list of the most passes completed by any player. He has so far completed 485 passes. I am Samson Omale in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'll have more World Cup news, but first, VOA's Gwen Ooten will tell us about a basketball superstar who's heading west. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. LeBron James is leaving Cleveland and heading to L.A. LeBron's management agency, Clutch Sports Group, said this in an official tweet on Sunday. For immediate release, LeBron James, 4-time NBA MVP, 3-time NBA Finals MVP, 14-time NBA All-Star, and 2-time Olympic gold medalist, has agreed to a 4-year, $154 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. And fans reacted.
Let's go, Lakers! Let's go, Lakers!
It's going to be a great year for LeBron. He's the best, one of the best ever.
I don't have any expectations, but I do expect a lot of great things to happen. Just because he's one of the best players of all time, and I believe that they can bring a lot of talent in from him coming.
Thank you for signing with us. I appreciate that. Guarantee you, that's one of the best decisions you have made. And no lie, we're going to win the title some way, somehow. I guarantee you.
Lakers legend Kobe Bryant rolled out the welcome mat on Twitter and said in part, "Welcome to the family, King James. Hashtag Lakers for life. Hashtag strive for greatness." Things just got interesting in the Western Conference that has largely been dominated by the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Let's move on to tennis. Defending Wimbledon champion Roger Federer opened center court, defeating Serbia's Dusan Lajovic in straight sets 6-1, 6-3, 6-4. Federer has won Wimbledon a record 8 times, and before the opening match, he said his long career will help in this year's tournament.
I think experience helps me, that I've played a lot of matches, a lot of big matches, because that goes, it feels like walking out for a finals, you know, it really does. It's maybe more nerve-wracking because you're not acclimatized to the court yet. So I think that might help me, the big-time match play that I've had over the course of my career, but I don't remember how it played exactly last year.
Well, one way it played out last year is Federer became the oldest man to win Wimbledon at then 35 years, 11 months old. And according to this reporter, Federer is looking better than ever.
You look even more handsome than last year.
Okay.
So my question is,
thank you.
How
okay.
How do you feel?
I feel great now. I feel red.
How do you feel physically this year, this time?
Incredibly sexy.
We still
well, Federer's appearance in this tournament could result in a final showdown between Federer and world number one Rafael Nadal, just coming off his 16th Grand Slam and 11th French Open title. Nadal and Federer have won the past 6 Grand Slams between them. Nadal is set to take the Wimbledon court in a Tuesday match against Israel's Dudi Sela on Tuesday. And fans hoping to see Great Britain's Andy Murray were disappointed to learn the 2-time champion had withdrawn on the eve of the tournament.
I don't see why he'd enter the competition to then see the draw and then pull out the day before. It's a little bit disappointing from a British perspective. And all his fans, you know, we wanted to see Murray, but, you know, just one of those things. Yeah. It's coming home, though, so it's all good. England can salvage Murray's.
The former world number one said he made significant progress following hip surgery and did everything he could to be ready, but ultimately felt it was just too soon to play. On the women's side, American Serena Williams makes her return to Wimbledon as a mother to baby Olympia and as a 25th seed. Ahead of Monday's match, Serena said she hasn't lost her competitive edge.
My competitive desire is definitely the same. I don't know if you saw the Being Serena on HBO. It was hilarious. I was in the hospital and I said something about Olympia playing. And I was like, not if I'm still playing, you know, I'm going to win. It was totally ridiculous. You know, I was still on medication, but I don't think I ever actually lost that competitive side. And in fact, I feel like it's stronger because I've been through so much and I put so much on the back burner. I feel like even more so, I'm even more competitive.
Serena has only played 4 events since returning to tennis and has not lost a singles match at Wimbledon since 2014. Serena's opening match will be on Monday against Arantxa Roos of the Netherlands. Venus Williams has won her opening match, defeating Sweden's Johanna Larsson 7-6, 2-6, 6-1. And U.S. Open champion Sloane Stephens is out of Wimbledon, losing in her opening match to Dana Vekic of Croatia, 6-1, 6-3. I'll have more sporty news for you tomorrow. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. While LeBron James's signing with the Lakers made headlines all over the United States on Monday, there are other big deals during the NBA free agency period. Paul George signed a $137 million contract to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder, And Chris Paul signed a $160 million deal to stay with the Houston Rockets. On Sunday alone, the new NBA contracts were worth more than $1 billion. That's right, $1 billion total. And free agency has just started. Returning to the World Cup football tournament in Russia, all five African teams, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia, were eliminated in the group stage. For reaction, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Spain, where he reached a man who represented Nigeria in two World Cups, Finidi George.
Yeah, it was really sad. Personally, I felt we should be working towards getting better. But from what we have seen, we are not really ready, you know, for big tournaments like this. So I don't know what's the problem, if it's not really working on our youth players, or we don't even have a direction. So it's really, really a poor out, you know, for the Africa. Only Senegal tried a little bit, but it was not enough. It was not good enough.
What do you think are the main cause of the poor showing by the African team?
Yeah, I don't know what is the problem. In terms of Nigeria, I can say we are not. We only wait when the tournament is 2 months before. Then we start trying to get our team, ourselves in order. And it's too short a time to do things right. When you almost at the competition, you try to work things, you know, hurriedly, and you find out that it's always not going to work out. So on the part of Nigeria, I think misorganization, you can see the exit of Germany. And if you just want to take lead on what Germany is going to do, they are working towards the next World Cup. They're going to go back, address themselves on what really went wrong, and try to work on getting better at the next World Cup. So they will come up, you know, very, very strong in the next World Cup. That was what Brazil did as well. You know, in 2014, they went out and they're like, okay, what did we do wrong? This time around, you can see that maturity in their play, in the structure of the team. So we don't have that with African countries. We all come back home and say, okay, let's play and qualify again for the African zone. And when we're getting closer to the World Cup, then we'll see what we do.
Do you have an idea of the way forward for future tournaments?
We have to be planning right away. Now that we are out, the board has to sit down and come up with a structure. Where do we go from here? Where did we get it wrong? Is it the coach? Is it the player? What formation do we need to play? Do we need to play more friendly games with European countries to see where our level is? All those things have to come in play. You know? We don't do it. We don't do it. It's only when we just have a few weeks left for the competition, then we start planning. So I think we have to make a long-term plan, come up with a long-term strategy on how to really win games in big tournaments like this. If we are not able to do that, then we'll always find ourselves in difficulties when we get to the main tournament.
For the Nigerian experience, what's your take on it? How would you look at the Nigerian experience at this World Cup?
It was poor. A lot of people are saying it's a young team, but these players are playing in Europe. So I don't buy that. The coach was not sound enough. I think the coach didn't do a good job. Even in the first game, the tactics was not right. They didn't play the players where they are supposed to be played. So it's all combined stuff. It's not just players, it's the coach, also the NFF. So for us to get it right, everybody has to walk towards the same direction. And we've not been doing that in the past several years.
That's former Super Eagles forward Finidi George, who represented Nigeria at the 1994 and 1998 World Cups. And Finidi spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye from Mallorca, Spain. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Even after the last African team exited the World Cup, there's still lots of interest in the global tournament all over the African continent. In Nigeria, the love for football is ever present in all aspects of life. a factor that has fueled the growth of sports betting in the country. Reporter Samuel Okocha tells us more from Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital.
Soccer fans gather here at this viewing center in Lagos to watch teams play at the ongoing World Cup in Russia. But this viewing center also doubles as a sports betting shop where I met Niyi Abdullatif.
Every time of the league, I know how much I win. But now, I don't win anything.
Niyi has been betting for 7 years. He follows the major football leagues in Europe and says the league season offers more opportunities to make money. That's because during the league season, dozens of games are played on each match day. But that's not so in the season of the World Cup.
One we play 1 o'clock, another one we play 4 o'clock, another one we play 7 o'clock. Just 6 countries. That's 3 games a day. There's a difference there. During that time, we can choose 30 games a day. And the 30 games that we play the same day.
Meanwhile, surprises at this World Cup has also not helped matters for those who want to bet ahead of games.
Imagine Argentina to lose to Croatia, Argentina to draw with Iceland. Brazil cannot even win Switzerland. They're playing 1-1.
That's Jude, an operator of the small betting shop where Niyi and other young Nigerians also come to watch games from the ongoing World Cup. He says the high unpredictability of match results at the World Cup has made sports bettors to invest very little compared to what they put during the European League season.
If they come to bet in World Cup, they will say, oh, let me just put 100 naira, 500, 1,000. But in league, when people come, they will bring 50,000, 20,000, 100,000, 30,000 naira to bet. People put more money in league than this World Cup.
Nigerians' love for football has led to the growth of a sport betting culture that has over the years seen dozens of sports betting companies open shops in Nigeria. According to Valiant Moweta, a research analyst with Lagos-based investment banking firm AfriInvest, the popularity of European clubs, helped by increasing access to the internet, has contributed to grow the culture of sports betting in Nigeria.
We follow the Premier League as much as they do in Europe. You need to hear when people are analyzing some clubs and all. We are up to date on the latest news. So the fact that there is an increasing fan base and technology too, making information you need to make informed decisions about your bet or about sports very handy, those are the major drivers of the sports betting industry in Nigeria.
Meanwhile, sports bettors like Niyi can't wait for the league season to return to start making money.
We are waiting for the league. The league will start on August 11th. That's what we are waiting for now.
For VOA News, Samuel Okocha, Lagos, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samuel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, Brazil beat Mexico Monday 2-0 in Samara, Russia, to advance to the quarterfinals at the World Cup football tournament. Superstar Neymar opened the scoring for the 5-time world champions with a sliding finish from Willian's cross in the 51st minute. And Liverpool man Roberto Firmino sealed it for Brazil with a goal in the 88th minute. The Brazilians will next play either Belgium or Japan on Friday in a quarterfinal. The Belgians and the Japanese are playing in Monday's second World Cup match. And that wraps up the July 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past 5 years, the Feed the Future Nigeria Livelihoods Project has helped pull some of the most vulnerable families in Nigeria out of poverty. This U.S. government foreign assistance program has helped Nigerians improve agricultural production, income generation, nutrition, and sanitation. The $22.6 million program in Nigeria began in 2013 and concluded just last month. Administered by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and implemented by Catholic Relief Services, the program initially helped 42,000 poor households in Abuja, Nigeria's capital, Kebbi, and Sokoto states to increase agricultural production, diversify incomes, and improve nutrition. It also provided livelihoods planning skills, adult literacy and numeracy instruction, and cash transfers to the most vulnerable households. In 2017, the program expanded to Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe states, reaching 10,000 more households. This project took a holistic approach to agriculture, to livelihoods, and to social development, said USAID Mission Director Stephen Hagen. It addressed the needs of the extreme poor by improving incomes and reducing vulnerabilities, and in this way serving as a model for efforts to build resilience in rural Nigeria. The USAID program introduced new technology, improving agricultural production and access to input markets such as quality seeds for smallholder farmers. As a result, crop yields doubled for more than 33,000 farmers. The program also helped farmers to reduce post-harvest losses. The activity engaged poor households in the rural economy by providing business skills and financial literacy support, vocational trainings and lending schemes, and safe spaces for adolescent girls. Additionally, more than 2,000 community workers were trained to deliver over 1.5 million counseling and group sessions on nutrition that led to a 22% drop in stunting, 10% drop in wasting, and 53% increase in exclusive breastfeeding rates in targeted locations. A cash transfer component alone helped lift 2,740 households out of poverty. State and local governments have shown positive support towards sustaining the gains from the program. The U.S. is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to improve the lives of the Nigerian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the 31st African Union Summit underway in Mauritania. The 2018 theme is Winning the Fight Against Corruption, a Sustainable Path to Africa's Transformation.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.